It's Thursday, the day we read from your email to us, and with the death and funeral of Ronald Reagan dominating the news, it's not surprising that comments about our coverage of the former president's death dominate your comments.
Stop.
This is from Alan Barlow in Seattle, Washington.
I'm full to the brim with all this hagiography and devotion to the Teflon president. It's an insult to those he injured during his overlong tenure.
And this from Joan Dawson in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I've missed you this week, NPR, but I'll be back when you have resumed covering the news. How sad that you needed to join the feeding frenzy around the not unexpected death of a former president whose legacy is the hubris that has made a rogue state out of our country.
Elizabeth Mack of Charlottesville, Virginia, was disappointed with our coverage for another reason. Words fail to adequately express my frustration over your brief but telling piece entitled Citizens Recall Reagan Years, specifically the inclusion of Maureen Taylor's comments on Reagan's welfare platform. Her words were filled with hate and anger against his decisions as president. Have you lost sight of the fact that this man was a human being? Reagan was not perfect, but neither are any of us. If this was your funeral, would you have wanted all things considered?
Regarding another president whose words we remembered this week, Patrick Rush of Atlanta, Georgia writes, after hearing the story of Lincoln's famous Cooper Union speech, I was moved to read the entire address. It is striking how well thought out and how deeply structured his argument was to think this man was running for the presidency of the United States of America. I cannot imagine a candidate articulating ideas so well-formed and deep-rooted in our modern climate.
Scott A. Norris wrote to thank us for drawing attention to what he calls one of the country's best-kept secrets. Mr. Norris is vice president of the Texas Reserve Law Officers Association. He's referring to our story about the use of reserve officers on the front lines against crime in Los Angeles, and he had something to add.
In reality, says Mr. Norris, nearly all reserve police officers, sheriff's deputies, and constables throughout the country have full peace officer authority and carry weapons. Cities that use only unarmed auxiliary officers, such as New York City, are the exception, not the rule. In Texas, reserve peace officers make up between 6% and 8% of the total number of sworn municipal, county, and state law enforcement officers. Without reserve officers to augment full-time manpower, many local law enforcement agencies would be unable to provide adequate, routine, or emergency police service to their communities.
Finally, corrections. In a story last month about tax exemptions for churches, we stated that a Southern Baptist Convention website encouraged members to vote Republican. In fact, the I Vote Values website does not endorse any particular party or candidate. And in yesterday's report about a spell of blue skies and cleaner air during last year's Northeast power outage, we misidentified the source of that clean air. We said it was the Ohio River Valley. In fact, it came mostly from Canada and the Great Lakes region, where power plants were shut down. Plants in the Ohio River Valley kept operating during the blackout. Air downwind from them did not improve.
You can send us your corrections and comments via email. The email address is atc@npr.org. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from and how you pronounce your name.